Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of June 20th, 2021. Well, today is generally regarded as the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Where I am, the sun came up at 10 past 5 in the morning, and we'll set at 8:22 in the evening, giving us 15 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, which is quite a wonderful thing. Everyone thinks back to the wintertime when the days are so short. Well, here we are at the longest day of the year. It brings your heart joy. The solstice is generally regarded as a day, right? The longest day of the year, but it's actually a momentary event when the sun reaches the highest point in the sky relative to effectively the Earth's equator. And what's interesting about that is that it's a global event. It happens at the same time for the entire globe. And so that moment of solstice is something that unites people everywhere around the globe. And generally, that moment marks the beginning of summer when the sun has hit its highest point. Now, we know all this from science, right? We've learned this over the centuries about how the Earth and the Moon and the Sun relate to each other. And it's kind of proof that we know where we are. We have a home in the universe, right here in our little solar system, with our Sun, our Moon, and all of our fellow planets rotating around. Of course, the ancients knew this also. The most famous example are the Druids, who built Stonehenge allegedly to match up with the summer solstice. Or at least it's a heck of a coincidence if they didn't intend that, right? But the ancients knew. This is 5,000 years ago. They understood the power of the sun. Of course, the Egyptians had sun god Ra among a variety of solar deities. And even the Romans had something, a god they called Sol Invicta. Of course, that was a winter solstice event where the undefeated sun, the Invicta part of it, the sun recovered and began to grow again in strength in December. Right? But the ancients recognized that the sun was a powerful thing. It gave us food. It gives us warmth. It gives us the light to see. If we didn't have the sun, we would be in perpetual darkness. And the ancients celebrated these celestial events, right? We know that from history, and point again back to the Druids of Stonehenge who marked these events with presumably a fair amount of solemnity. Of course, we shouldn't kid ourselves that we don't also celebrate the celestial events. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but Christmas and New Year's are essentially winter solstice celebrations that occur, you know, new life, new birth, as the sun begins to get longer again. It's no coincidence that those holidays happen at the winter solstice. Easter, of course, is a spring festival timed with the equinox. I mean, literally, Easter is defined by the spring equinox, when life springs again, and we have chickens running around, little ducks and chickens and things. It's further no coincidence that here in America, we wildly celebrate the 4th of July, which just by coincidence happens to be within a few days of the summer solstice. And then into the fall, we celebrate Halloween at that time of year when things are getting dreary and the equinox occurs, right? Equal day and night happens in the fall and everything gets spooky. So we may or may not appreciate it, but we are very much celebrating celestial events under a different guise. But nowadays we know that the Druids were not all wrong, right? The sun drives everything, right? This, we know from science that the sun drives the weather. It drives our climate. It gives us electricity through our photovoltaic cells. It gives us electricity through the wind it generates in our wind turbines. It gives us all of our crops, everything that grows, is dependent on sunlight. So the Druids were onto something about the power of the sun, and we, millennia later, understand even better how important the sun is for our very existence. Now, it turns out that here in Western civilization has kind of a conceit of monotheism, which effectively is some kind of an invisible superstructure that requires faith, that explains everything that we see with our eyes, right? And that is considered to be superior to the ancients' primitive worship of the sun and the moon, because, of course, the sun and the moon meant nothing. It's an interesting concept. But I guess I'd put forward the following thesis, that the sun and the moon, but in particular the sun, deserves more respect than we give it, and in fact is worthy of deity status. Really? How could the sun be a god? Well, let's first of all say that there's no argument that the sun actually exists. Right? You can look up in the sun, in the sky, you see the sun. It is there, no doubt about it. No requirement of faith. It turns out that the sun punishes and rewards us. We know that if we live sustainably, we get a green and verdant earth. If we don't live sustainably, if we commit sins against the planet, we get, like what's happening now in California with 120-degree heat waves. There's no argument that the sun gives us life and impacts the way we live. As I said before, the sun grows our food. It gives us rain. It drives the hydrological cycles. It drives the oceans. It does everything on the planet. And it's fair to say that the sun created humans, right? Can you imagine that we would even be here? Science tells us there would not even be a planet Earth if there wasn't the sun, right? But if there was no sun in the sky, where would you be now? And the sun gives us an honest-to-God creation story. How did we get here? Right? It is what's called big history, but the creation of the sun, the creation of the earth, the evolution of life, this is a creation story equivalent to anything you get in any other civilization. And it's time for us to respect that. Another reason the sun deserves deity status is that the sun teaches us how to live. Right? The sun has developed all of the cycles of the earth, where nothing is wasted, where everything is reused and the planet goes on and on. It changes and evolves, to be sure. But the sun drives the cycles on the earth that give us sustenance. And we humans would do well to align ourselves with that lesson, to recognize what the sun is teaching us about how to lead our lives in consonance with the natural systems that are all around us. Of course, St. Thomas Aquinas in the Catholic Church, 2,000 years ago, developed all kinds of moral philosophy around the teachings in monotheism. But it's fair to say that you could create and can create moral justifications for treating your neighbor like yourself, because we're all part of the same ecosystem. Humans are not superior or inferior to any other part of the ecosystem. So again, the sun allows us to develop a moral philosophy of how to live our lives in a way that sustains the planet. And finally, the sun creates a sense of awe. Other than just seeing it and watching a sunrise and watching an eclipse, we know that the sun science tells us it's a thermonuclear ball of fire in the sky. It's an amazing story. If it doesn't strike awe in your soul that this thing is up in the sky giving us life, you need to practice your sense of awe. So here on the solstice, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, In an age where we are facing a threat to the planet from climate change, and we need to find new ways to live our lives and somehow come square with the reality of the physics of our planet, I would submit that the sun qualifies as a deity, that the sun teaches us how to live sustainably in a limited world, in a small blue dot floating in the galaxy. And I would submit that the sun deserves our love, our respect, and our obedience to its teachings. So there you go. That's the case for a sun god. You can check out links to most of what we talked about on the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. Please send us an email if you have any moral teachings about from the sun. You can send it to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be discussing in the podcast. You can listen to the show on your smartphone using any of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all your friends to do it on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So see you next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.